Good afternoon. Today's scripture reading is from Hosea chapter 5, 13 to 15, and 6, 1 to 6. Hosea 5, 13 to 15. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king, but he is not able to cure you or heal your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will carry off and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. And after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And my judgment goes forth as a light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we stand before your word. Please pour out your grace and mercy in our hearts and pour out your wisdom without limit so that it can be a precious and blessed time to get to know you more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go deep into today's text, I would like to make an introduction a little longer. It is to understand today's text better. Today's introduction connect the following questions. Why do we read the book of prophets? Or why do we have to read them? The Old Testament is largely consisting of the Pentateuch, first five books, and then history, and the writings known as the wisdom literature, and the prophets. And the book of Hosea, to which today's text belongs, is one of the 17 books of the prophets. A prophet was a person who speaks for God and or by divine inspiration. They were chosen to speak for God and to guide the people of Israel. The prophets of the Old Testament received the word of God and then took on a role of confronting idolatry and the social problems that were dominant in society at the time. Injustice, corruption, and absurdity, and list goes on and on and on. For this reason, most of the prophets recorded in our Old Testament were rejected, ridiculed, and turned away, and then threatened with life, and even martyred by the people. So if I were to choose the color of the book of the prophets, I would choose either dark gray or black. It is like a picture where you can see the faint light of the cross in the big picture. It is just all dark, but small faint of the cross you can see in the picture, but when you enter the tunnel of the dark, then you cannot see the end. When you read these long and dark words of the judgment without hope for the end, you wonder if there is any hope for this nation Israel. Please try to open your Bible and one available in the pew in front of you. Do I give you the opportunity to touch the Bible for the first time or for a long time? And can you open, try to find the book of Isaiah. It is a church Bible. In the church Bible, it is a 566. 566. And then try to find the last book, Malachi. It is 803. I will not read this all, but just try to figure this thickness of the book and try to compare it with the thickness of the book of the New Testament. Just New Testament is very next to whole chapter, a whole just book of the here. I will just like this. When I compare with this New Testament and then the Old Testament of just prophets, this Old Testament prophets is little, just two or three pages more than New Testament. So it is way large, way portion in the book of the Bible. In terms of amount, the prophets occupied a large section compared to Pentateuch, and then history and writings and the entire New Testament. This is quite just amount. The tone of the books of the prophets are dark, and some of them are quite lengthy. And Isaiah 66 chapter, and then Jeremiah 52. Even Jeremiah is 52, but it is more than just Isaiah. So then why should we read them? Should we just simply focus on reading prophecy about the Messiah and then just forget about the other stuff? Why do we read the prophets? Why should we read the prophets? I would like to point two places in the Bible that can help us to get an answer for these questions. First is Malachi 1:1-2. This is a phrase that I often quote when I introduce the prophets. The prophet Malachi was ministering about 400 years before Jesus began his ministry. This is the word of God. The oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? God, who has made a covenant with the people of Israel from the time of the prophet Moses, and has loved them for 1,000 years, and tells the people of Israel that I have loved you since I first met you in the wilderness. But the first response from the Israelites saying that, no, how have you loved us? This response from the Israelites broke the Heavenly Father's heart so much to the point that he didn't send a prophet for 400 years after that. Of course, it is my interpretation of the Bible, but I support this interpretation. This is my personal experience and reflection. This story happened when my second child learned the sentence, I don't like you, from her brother. Can you already imagine what kinds of story this would be? One morning, while kids were just getting ready to go to school, I gave several, just warnings that my daughter for her bad attitudes. Then, all of a sudden, she whispered to her brothers in ears and saying that, I don't like that. I want him to disappear. And before she got into the car to go to school, she continued talking negatively about me to her brother. I'm laughing now, but at that moment, I was so heartbroken. I just cried in my heart. And my heart was so discouraged, which caused me not to be able to have a normal conversation with my daughter until a few next days. She just didn't know what she did. But I got so much discouraged, and then I was not able to have a conversation, regular conversation with her for days. I still remember the shock of how sad and heartbreaking that day was. But at that moment, simultaneously, Holy Spirit knocked my heart and soaked my heart. I came to understand a little bit of God's heart, who was so broken because of his children. It was painful enough to say that it was just not broken, but saying that you lost your joy of life. I lost my joy. I do not want to just leave. I couldn't speak for just a few days due to this discouragement. But wouldn't God, who loved the people of Israel fervently, continuously, faithfully, and keep his mouth shut for 400 years, I was able to I could understand his perspective. But how did God answer the Israelites' question about how have you loved us? This is the second passage. It is from Romans 5 and 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. After Apostle Paul became a new creature by the grace of the Lord and he was able to look back the event of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and he was astonished by God's love. From Paul's point of view, God has loved his people consistently and fervently all this long history, but the surest proof of how God loved his people is that he forgave the sins of people by letting his son Jesus die at the cross. God proves firmly his love for his people by the cross of Jesus Christ. A reason we need to read the book of the prophets is because when we read them, we can see and understand how much God loved and continues to love his people. Please read the book of Hosea this week as an assignment. At the beginning of the book, God gave the prophet Hosea a shocking ministry. Go, take yourself a wife of a whoredom, is adultery, and have a children of the whoredom, for the land commits a great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. This is why God gave them children's name very, very unique. First child is Jezreel. I will avenge the blood of Jezreel on the house of Jehu in a little while. Second child, Lo Luhama, no mercy. Lo Luhama, no mercy. Third child, Lo Ami, not my people. What's your name? My name is Lo Luhama, no mercy. What's your name? Lo Ami. Not my people? What kinds of parents give these kinds of names to their children? In addition, the wife of prophet Hosea cheated on him and went to another man, but God told him, pay money to redeem her. So Hosea obeyed and brought her back. You can see there are similarities in Gospel and then the book of Hosea. It was evident that Hosea was called for this irrational ministry in our perspectives. Through this embarrassing ministry, the prophet Hosea could have felt deeply, could have understood that God has such the same broken heart for his people as he had. Because his faithful ministry back in the days, people after generation read the words of the prophet Hosea and then Apostle Paul, and then generation by generation were deeply touched by this story. And even to me, who prepared the words of God last week, God's broken heart towards his people was shown to me through the Holy Spirit so that I could understand even a little bit of the sorrowful heart that God had for his people. If you begin to read the prophets with the heart of God who truly loves his people, then your question would be changed from, hey, how can God do this to his prophet Hosea? Changing to, why did he have to do this? As a Christian, we grow up before God by understanding God's heart little by little and becoming more mature. Christian maturity begins with getting to know God's heart more deeply. For this reason, we should read the Word of God, especially the Book of Prophets. In the time of Hosea, the king of northern Israel was Jeroboam II. During the reign of Jeroboam, there was a military conflict in Assyria and Syria. This Assyria, who was enemy of the border in Israel, so Israel, because there is a tension between Assyria and Syria, it just relatively, just Israel, northern Israel. was able to enjoy peace without war relatively. Therefore, it was most prosperous period in the history of the northern Israel. It was a period of the prosperity in military, economic, culture, and social, and all in education, all this area. 2 Kings 14, 23, 27. In the 15th years of the Amaziah, the son of the Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of the Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria. And he reigned 41 years. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. He restored the border of Israel from the Nebo Hamat as far as the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from God's helper. For the Lord saw that the affliction of Israel was very bitter, for there was none left, bond or free, and there was none to help Israel. But the Lord had not said that he would blot out the name of Israel from the under heaven. So he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. In fact, in God's perspective, this Jeroboam, what he did was evil in the sight of the Lord. But in fact, just God took pity on Ephraim. So he gave them grace for a short time, around 41 years of the Jeroboam just reigning time. So God was giving Ephraim a chance to return to him. God desired to just let them question about who gave this prosperous life, who gave us food and gold and peace and then this prosperous life among our societies. Then let us try to find this guy, this God, so that let us worship this God. Did the Israelites, did Israel seek God to worship? This is today's text, 13, 14. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king, but he is not able to cure you or heal your wound, for I will be like a lion to Ephraim and I like a young lion to house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will carry off and no one shall rescue. Sorry that I had to cut a few verses due to message. But even after they're receiving grace, Israel did not come back. So now God gave them pains. When God gave them peace and then prosperous life, they did not come back. So God gave them pain, but they did not come back. When Israel saw the Hebrew verb ra'ah, he just recognized it. You correctly recognize it. It's not just quickly and then you just stop by and seeing, but ra'ah, you saw that he was ill. Israel, the king of Judah and king of Israel, saw that the pain, that he has a pain. Oh. Not just ill, but holy and matzor in Hebrew, a serious disease that did not respond to any medication. Yet foolishly, they went to Assyria, where he cannot get healing. They thought that, the Jeroboam thought that, if I bring a bribe to Assyria and then make them to attack Aram, the Syria, then they will fight each other so that I will be okay. Well, Assyria now thought that, oh, Israel have money. Okay, I want to see your strategy too. That's why Assyria are taking all this northern area of the Israel and then Judah and all this area. Because of this ungrateful and foolish act, God becomes a lion himself and he will become a judge, declaring that I, Etrof Velek, I will tear and go away. Usually Hebrew verbs, as you know, that verb itself has a can tell, the author can tell that the subject, but here God emphasizing that ani, ani, I am the one who will tear you down and go away. God is emphasizing that the only one who only can rescue you is only me. Verse 15, I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Now it is said that God goes to his dwelling place and stays there until Israel truly repents. Like any parents, what God, the Father, sincerely wants from the Israel is not their children will perish, but that they truly realize their sins and then truly seek their Father. Father, I'm sorry, forgive my sins. What does this honestly seek, the phrase honestly seek means here? This is the same verse used in Psalm 63 verse 1. It is written by David. O God, you are my God. Honestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. A man without water try hard to find water in the wilderness. Just as your ancestor, your father David, who thirsts for his soul, honestly sought me and seek me like him. Seek me like your David, your father David. You also should cry out honestly and seek me diligently in that way. The same verb sha'ar is used. The prophet Hosea, who understands this father's heart, broken heart, and he proclaims, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as dawn. He will come to us as a shower, as a spring rains that water the earth. The verb reku, halak in verse 1, are used in the second person imperative, which literally means that you walk. And Banashuva, Prophet Hosea, urging people to return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. It means that people should return to the original Father, the original place, which means to their Lord. On the one hand, regarding verse 2, 2 days and then 3 days, one commentator commented that if the primary context means that God will restore Israel quickly, the meaning behind it can be interpreted in relation to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whether it was Hosea's intention or not, saying that it is interpret and accept this expression, 2 or 3 days will be resurrected, will be raised, expression in which this phrase gradually become a regular phrase in Israeli community. Later in the first century, it was used among the people as being resurrected after 3 days. So back in the days, Hosea using this phrase, and then after he using it, and then in Israel community using it, and then commonly, and then now it became a. So the commentator said that we can consider it as a possible interpretation. And if we consider that is God is the one that who saved the life. Verse 3, parallel to verse 1, and then verse 3 was a slogan of the ministry of the prophet Hosea. Let us return to the Lord. Let us press on to the Lord. Know the Lord. I have talked about this verb yada several times. And the Hebrew verb yada does not refer to a superficial knowledge of the fact of the thing or a superficial degree of the knowledge of the just other person. Just not knowing that, yes, I know your name. I know your just preference. Not just that superficial level. But in marital relationship, it means that sleeping with each other. In war, the verb yada can only be used if you have personally participated in war. So if you question to me that, do you know army? Then I can say that, yes, I know army. Why? Because I served in Korean army for 2 years. So when you ask someone question, do you really know in Hebrew terms, in Hebrew perspectives, then you have to have an experience with it. In this respect, the biblical commentator emphasized that we do not truly know God when we just acknowledge God as creator, lawgiver, redeemer, and the national God of Israel. The knowing God denotes a closer spiritual relationship with Him, obedience to His commandments, and fear of Him. Have you ever sowed seeds while weeping? Have you ever stood up as a Christian and did what you have to do in the face of injustice in society? Have you ever cried and prayed over a soul? Only those who have lived and seen the Word of God in this way can say that, I know God. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like a dew that goes all it away. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as a light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. God knows His people in detail. But what about the people of Israel? The people loves just vanished like a morning cloud, like a morning dew. Hesed, steadfast love in Hebrew, related with the action, covenant faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, loyalty, loving kindness that goes beyond requires of duty. This is the boundary, although you are just covenant, but you go beyond. That is a steadfast law. If you just follow God's way, that is not enough. You have to go beyond. That is steadfast law. And then it is action. In the end, the people of Israel who had the obligation to love their neighbor unconditionally and love God were not faithful like a morning cloud, which disappears quickly. In the end, and all that was left of this community was God's faithful warning. They eventually perished according to the words of the prophet who prophesied the word of God. Therefore, we learn from the book of Hosea that destruction is not caused by the absence of God's presence, but it is caused by human ignorance, misunderstanding, persistence, and prejudice and arrogance who completely refuse to know God. Do you know what my kids do if they are scared when we do hide and seek play? And just, okay, this is father's turn. Okay, you hide. So I hide myself. And then I hide usually in the just closet, same closet. All the time same closet. Let them just find easily. But when they're afraid, they usually just close their eyes and then put like ingots. And then they try to using their foot, open the door like this. Conversely, even when they hide, they cover their eyes like this, and then they sit in front of the living room. And then, so am I really not seeing anything? Just pretending to them that I'm not seeing them. I thought of this as a way God sees us, our community, and our society today. Society increasingly refuses to know God. Isn't it like a society where if I cover my eyes and then cover my ears and saying that I cannot see you, I cannot hear you, then the other person does not exist? Rather, isn't it right to honestly seek Him, honestly seek the existence of God, to know Him with a humble mind? Brothers and sisters whom God loves, If there is anything God wants from us through today's words, what would it be? I pray that we will become a mature children who understand the heart of God. In particular, I hope that it will be a precious opportunity to understand our Heavenly Father's earnest desire for us through the words of the prophets. After graduating from seminary, I was too lazy to study, so I read the Bible sporadically. But God gave me a prescription, so I had to read the Bible to my children every day. Every day before going to bed, before going to school, I read a wisdom literature, a chapter per day, and a short story of Jesus. And there are times that when I'm moved and to tears while reading it, because it is a children Bible, in English version, that is easy to understand even in English. Of course, it must be because the Holy Spirit touches my heart, who lays on to read the Bible. If the Old Testament ESV version is difficult for you, I recommend NIRV, New International Reader's Version. It is also recommended. As I was preparing Hosea, I read it all the way from the beginning to end, Hosea, with the easy translation, within just an hour. So it is so much readable that you can read the entire book with the easy translations. And then later, and then you can go back to ESV, and then if you really want to, you can go to Hebrews too. I pray that we will become a people who diligently seek God, seeking and knowing God's heart and fulfilling our Father's desire. Let us pray. God the Father, today through the words of the prophet Hosea, we learned about your desire for us. We pray that this week, as you give us a precious opportunity to seek you more, get to know you more, and understand your word, lead us to spend time in your word. At this moment, we pray for our brothers and sisters who are in Ukraine and refugees in Poland. We know you, Father, that you do not abandon your people there, but you are with them to suffer with them. Father, won't you mercy and grace be upon your people? We know your will. You will help them to hold their faith. Grant them the grace and peace and comfort to all those who dwell in their land. As God faithfully loves us with the love of Hesed, so let us love you until the day we meet you. Also help us to embrace our neighbors unconditionally with the love of Hesed. Help us not to forget the love of our Father who proved his love through the cross of Christ. We pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.